Welcome back to Straight Lining with Stevie. And Stevie, you went out there and tracked down one of the top alcohol funny car drivers.
Oh, I'm telling you, I got one of these crazy guys that, you know, they slap a body over them. They can see probably about a 30-degree angle in front of them, and then can't see down the sides. And trapped in this body with a blower set in front of them. And to make it even worse yet, they wrap their legs around the transmission. And it takes a special breed of person to drive something like that. And I've got one of the best in the business. He's been around for just a little bit. And I'll tell you what, I look for him to see around a lot longer. I got Terry McMillan on the phone. Terry, how you doing, guy?
Oh, baby, baby, help me, help me, help me. I'm live, Real Racing USA, with Agent Stevie. Let's rock and roll.
That's a take.
How about you? I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Oh, I just had no doubt in my mind that you were pumped.
Turn up the juice, Stevie.
We just got started. It's only
the honesty. Are you like this when you come home at night to your wife?
And I drink no coffee. I trust me. I drink no coffee. How you guys?
Oh my goodness! I'll tell you. Bless your heart. Well, listen. We're gonna go right to the nitty gritty. First off, let the people know you drive an alcohol funny car, an IHRA, and you're one of the veterans of it, and probably one of the best. And you know how to get the job done with a flopper if anybody out there does. And I want to ask you, the 2000 race coming up, and we're going down to a very important race for you down in Texas. And I want you to tell us a little bit about this race coming up, what's going to be different about it, and how you plan to approach this race.
Well, first of all, you said everything pretty well, Steve. I really appreciate that. All the way up to the point where I almost need a walker to get to my car because I'm that old, apparently. But you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm really pumped up, man. We're going to the Amley Oil Nationals. I'm excited. It's my title sponsor is, you know, Amley Oil on this, and they're my sponsor on the Top Fuel Funny Car, or the Top Fuel Dragster, as well as the Alcohol Funny Car. You know, we're expecting a lot of great things, and the main thing is we're going to throw a party, have a couple hundred people down there, and it's going to be an awesome time. And I'll tell you what, we're going to run a little 8th mile racing down there, and you know what, I've had good luck with the 8th mile, so I'm really looking forward to it. I actually can't wait to get started. Listen to the introduction, you guys talking, was making the hair stand up on the back of my neck. I'm just pumped and ready to go.
Well, curiosity, now, we're going 8 mile racing. Now, this is something that, you know, in IHRA, it happened last year. Let me give some of the fans a little breakdown. Where we had some problems on the track. They had to do some repaving, and we didn't feel it was safe to accelerate over this new asphalt. So we cut the racetrack down to an 8th mile. Now, suddenly, you guys who are all set up for the quarter mile have this throat in your lap, and they say, guys, we're going to race 8th mile. And it went rather well, but everybody was talking about what's going to happen if they come back and they do this with the intention of knowing they're going to run 8 miles. So IHRA said, you know what, let's do it. So this year, Amley Oil Nationals, is going to be 8 mile. How have you set your rig up, and how do you plan to drive this deal?
But, you know, it's a perfect deal for me because I've been very fortunate and very blessed throughout the years that I don't lose on the starting line. I have tremendous reaction times for the class. I average like an 035 to an 040 light when typically the class averages somewhere in the 80s and 90s. So in the 8th mile racing, that starting line is extremely important, even more so than in this quarter mile, because sometimes you can set your car up to carry you through the top end to make up for that starting line difference. So it certainly lends itself for an advantage to me, I believe. And on top of that, you know, we're just going to turn the blower up a little bit and try to run a little faster to the 8th and see what we can do with it. You know, I mean, I'm not going to drive the funny car this year. I am putting someone else inside the funny car. So it's my first time sitting back watching the car go down the track, and I'm really excited about that. We got some, you know, I got to get somebody licensed in this car, but we're ready to go, and I'm really looking forward to going down there to the Amley Oil Nationals and making a lot of great things happen because I'll tell you what, I got the Paro Torco racing fuel in there, and I tell you, my car is going to fly.
You know, speaking of flying on this thing, this would be an opportunity. Am I correct on this? We will run for national records. First time ever, 8th mile.
You know, we did. And I tell you what was really kind of neat about it is that the fans, I was really shocked. Because someone called me last year and said, look, you know, IHRA is changing the schedule and you're going to run 8th mile races. I would have really had to think twice about going because drag racing to me has always been quarter mile. That's all I've ever known. But I have to tell you, going down to the race and running that race to the eighth mile was extremely exciting. And more importantly, you know, the bleachers at San Antonio, they end at the eighth mile. So people could really see the side-by-side racing. And it was just awesome. And I tell you, I never heard a negative comment from anybody at the race. And they were all talking about coming back next year. So I'm really pumped up. Like I said, I just actually talked to Todd Zampezi tonight from San Antonio Speedway. And I'm looking forward to getting down there and making this thing happen.
Is it true? I heard at the eighth mile you were having so much fun last year that you were waving at the fans.
Well, you know, I never open my eyes, but I count to three, and then I start waving. I don't know what the heck I'm doing out there, but it just looks good, you know. I mean, I've seen a couple of videos of that, waving my hand, and I thought it was pretty cool, so now I try to do it all the time.
Yeah, and you count to three before you open your eyes? Oh,
well, yeah, because if I see anything else before that, it would scare the heck out of me. I would realize that I should not be inside that car.
Oh, Lord, it's going to be a year down there. I'll tell you what. I'm looking forward. I'm very fortunate as I get to come down there and announce. And hopefully I will get the opportunity to be out there whenever you go after those five bonus points that we have awarded to the drivers in the pro classes for low qualifier.
Oh, baby.
Friday night.
You know what happens when I get them, baby. There's a lot of old babies coming out.
Oh,
I'm
no,
looking
no.
forward to that and definitely going to lay it on the line.
I will tell you this, though. Fans, last year, was it at Rockingham that you came up to me and were so excited you jumped up on the guard wall and started, had my microphone away from me, and I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, I've lost control out here. But you did give it back, and you did a great job. You definitely get the people pumped up and excited.
Well, that's just because the battery went dead on the microphone, and there was no reason for me to carry it anymore, so I gave it back to you to get a new battery in there. But you know what? I tell you what, it is exciting. I mean, you know, to go to a race and see, you know, all these fans in the stands coming out here, spending their hard-earned dollar to come out and see this drag race. And I mean, they need everything, because I really appreciate them coming out there. And I tell you what, there's nothing more that gets me pumped up and getting in front of the crowd, you know, running 300 miles an hour, coming back, cheering and talking to them, and, you know, hey, I look for you on the way back, because I know if I see you, it's going to be a good thing, and I did well.
Well, you know, we've already talked about the race, and let's just back up just for a second. Just when did Terry McMillan get started in drag racing?
Just past puberty. actually, it's a kind of a real strange story. I grew up in Chicago, Illinois, and I just knew all my life. I was in school. I was reading Hot Rod magazine and Popular Chevy and all the magazines. I was into that stuff. And you know, I was really doing terrible in school because I thought to myself, you know what? I don't need this stuff. It wasn't going to help me. It wasn't going to get me to the racetrack. It wasn't going to make these things happen. And then come along, I ran into this teacher who said, look, you know what? You're doing a terrible job in English or language, and here's what I want you to do. You read the article in these magazines, and you give them to me. You write the stories, and I'm going to grade you on this. Well, I have to tell you, that lady threw my life around. So then what I thought was, I had a paper out. I was trying to make money to survive so that I could go play. And I found me a 32 Ford steel body, suicide doors, with no motor in it. So then I didn't have enough money to buy it, but the guy was going to work with me, so I went out and got another paper route. So I had two paper routes, and when I was 14, I bought my first drag car, and it was a 32 Ford. It dropped me a 392 Hemi in it with 2.4 barrels, and you know what? I've never looked back since.
Wow, that is awesome. Would you like to have that 32 Ford back again with the suicide doors?
Oh, baby. Yes, sir.
Oh, I'll tell you. Well, it sounds like you had an exciting start. Now, as time went on, you know, and you jumped up into the pros, you've got associated with Amley Oil. And tell us a little bit about your relationship with Amley Oil and how it's grown over the years.
Well, I'm on my 10th year with Amley Oil, so I'm very, very privileged to be part of that. And it was just an opportunity that presented itself. We started out small. We kept building the program. And each year we just figured out new and unique ways to grow their business. And so, you know, they kept seeing that we were doing well. They were selling oil because of what we were doing. And, you know, as the oil sales increased, our programs increased. And then today, here we are, you know, we're sitting on a major sponsorship with the Amley Oil Instigator Funny Car. And, you know what, we have an associate sponsorship on the Top Fuel Car. So it's been tremendous. I mean, I can't thank the folks enough at Amley Oil because they've been fantastic. And, And without them, my career would never have this opportunity to be where it's at. And, you know, and it's the same time with the same thing with Torco Fuel. I mean, if it wasn't for Evan Noe giving me the opportunity to get in a top fuel car and get my license completed, none of this would be possible. So I owe a lot of people, and I'm very fortunate and blessed that a lot of people get, you know, had faith in me to give me the opportunity to go out there and race. And you know what? I'm loving every minute of it.
You know, you spoke about Evan Noe, and I know that you're close to Evan, and that something, if you would do for me, could you give us a little bit of a breakdown? Everybody out there in Raceland is talk, and it comes as a real shock because Evan Noe has been a major player in the growth of drag racing. He has been one of the best shots in the arm drag racing has maybe ever had, and it came as a shock to hear from everybody that he's going to pull back for a year. Can you tell us just a little bit about the Evan Noe situation? Because I know it affected your wallet as well as many other racers.
Well, you know, I mean, none of this is important to me because the fact is it's all about Evan right now. He's not feeling well. Back in 04, he had a serious car accident, which created some trauma to his head. And, you know, and with that, over time, it's been developing and getting worse. And it's only because the guy won't stop for 5 minutes. He keeps going 24 hours a day. I mean, this guy, he'll call me at 2:30 in the morning with questions and say, you know, what are you doing? I said, Evan, I was just waiting on your phone call, okay? I mean, that's how intense this guy is and how many hours he puts in. So he wasn't getting the rest that the doctors told him. He wasn't doing the things that he needed to be doing to get healthy. And now it came down to crunch time, and now a decision had to be made not to go to the races anymore, keep him home, keep him, you know, pretty much at a even keel, let him relax, let him heal. And then let's, you know, go back after this thing in 09. And I tell you what, Evan will be back in 09 bigger and better than ever. He is just, he is a blessing to drag racing. There is no, I mean, you look at the list of people that he's helped and the careers that he's, you know, reestablished or launched, and it's a pretty distinguished list. And I tell you what, not just myself, but everybody out there owes this man a lot because timing might not have been good of what happened, but you know what? Nobody can predict when a heart attack's going to happen. Nobody has a crystal ball that knows what the future is going to be. The bottom line is it came down to a decision that had to be made by his doctors, and his doctors told him what he had to do, and he had a surgery. He's come through the surgery. He's doing really well, and you know what? I just ask everybody to continue to pray for him because drag racing will continue with Evan Noe. He will be back.
Wow, well, that's really good news to hear. And, you know, Evan Noe really has done so much for the sport and it has made so many people's careers grow that it's phenomenal what this man has been able to do. And I'm really glad to hear that his surgery was a success. And I can just visualize knowing someone of his nature and aggressiveness, it's going to be really tough for this man not to be involved, not to get out there and go. When they tell him to rest, you know, that's going to be really tough to do, to rest, to heal up, to get well, but it's something he's going to have to do if he wants to come back in 2009. And you think he will be back 2009 then, huh?
He will be back bigger than ever. I could tell you that the plans, you know, he's prior to just actually having to make the decision to pull the plug, which I know is he agonized over for a long time. I mean, you know, this was not an easy choice, but the bottom line is it came down to health and the quality of life. And if you wanted him here another year, he has to take this year off. He has to heal. And it's going to take him 6 months, maybe 8 months, but whatever it takes, he needs that. But, you know, rest assured, he is going to come back, and all the naysayers that have been on the Internet and all these other things, he's going to prove a lot of people wrong. And like I said, this guy, the money he spends is huge. I mean, it takes no rocket scientist to figure this out. But what's really cool about Evan Noe is he does this with his heart. He doesn't necessarily go after the top teams, the top players in the sport and give them money. He wants to help people. He lives his life by helping people. And I tell you what, that's a quality of life that many can find. And so, you know, we're all blessed for knowing Evan Noe and for him, you know, embracing drag racing as he has. And it's just only going to continue to grow with him. So it's, like I said, I'm excited. But like I said, most of all, it's all about his health right now. And you know what, that's the bottom line. We need him healthy. We need him back. You know, I miss him. I could walk away from a race car today if that meant that he was going to have a normal life, you know, later on. So it really, I'm just excited for him and excited that surgery went well. And a lot of prayers were answered, and we're just, you know, like I said, we're blessed.
Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate you putting that input in to kind of let everybody know. And not to take this wrong, this is like right from the horse's mouth, and take that as a compliment, because you are close to him. And so we're getting the word, you know, right from a very reliable source, and it's good to know. Because, you know, I heard over the Internet, you know, well, he was gone, everybody was sad, and everybody said, oh, he let us down, and then some people said, don't jump to conclusions. And for a while, they're just kind of floated around out there. And then there's been statements made by different people and stuff, and I thought this would be an excellent time to hear from Terry McMillan on a topic that he's very knowledgeable on, and it's very positive what you have said about Evan. And my experience with Evan, he was somewhat shy.
He is. He really is. I mean, like,
really didn't want to be in the limelight. I went to him several times and said, Evan, let me put you on the microphone. And it was like, no, you'll get it. He was like, you know, go talk to the drivers. You know, he just didn't really want to be out there, but yet, wow. What a tremendous thing he has done for our sport.
Oh, yeah, and it has. And I would tell you, there's, you know, in all the years of racing, and you know, to allude back that I am a fairly old guy, the fact is, you know, going back, I mean, you know, there's nobody in drag racing that has ever come out and made the impact. And whether Evan would come back in 09 or whatever it would be if he didn't come back, the fact of the matter is there's no one individual that has done for drag racing like he has. And, you know, that's truly a compliment. I mean, like I said, I know that I can sit here and tell you, today that he agonized over this decision. It was not one he wanted to make. But you know what? It come down to whether or not you're going to be here in 3 months or 6 months, or, you know, this is what you're going to have to do to get healthy. And you know what? He's on the road to recovery. And like I said, I'm pumped up. I can't wait to get him to the first drag race. You know, our goal all along was that we were going to race side by side as a team. And you know, I'm hoping that we get that opportunity. I know he tried to get in the car and drive at Martin again, and, you know, things went well. But, you know, after he drove that car, he was down and out again for about 3 days, just nothing but sleeping. So his head wasn't healed. It wasn't ready. Now I believe that when he comes back in 09, I believe that there might be a good possibility to see the big guy behind the wheel, and that would do everybody's heart really justice.
Oh, that would definitely be exciting. Well, Terry, I do want to thank you for coming on this evening. I always enjoy getting an opportunity to talk with you, and hopefully when we get down to the Texas Amley All Nationals down there in San Antonio Raceway, down in San Antonio, Texas, and I'll have that chance once again to turn the microphone over to you and let you run the battery down.
Well, you know what? I'll be honored to do that, I have to tell you. But, hey, I tell you what. I'm looking for the driver for the car. You know, you've been around drag racing forever. I've seen you wear this outrageous red jacket, you know? I'm thinking we can get a red fire suit, make you feel right at home, throw a helmet on you, and just send you.
Oh, let me tell you, I used to turn the wrenches on those alcohol funny cars, but there's no way in God's green earth you'd get me in one of those funny cars.
Yeah, Terry, do you have just another minute? I do have a question. Just, I'm sitting up here in the grandstands watching this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, over this year, working with Stevie on this deal, we've talked to a lot of the funny car, alcohol funny car guys, 300-mile club, I call it, you know what I mean? And
sure.
What is it that you guys got, man? What's in the genes here that enables you to be able to do that? It just fascinates me.
Well, let me tell you, I was dropped on my head when I was a baby at a very, very young age, and I've never recovered from that, okay? And that's, you know, that's really cool, but let me tell you what it's like, okay? You know, anybody that knows me, I'm a fairly big guy. I'm old, according to Steve, and I'm having wrinkles and all this. But I'll tell you, here's the deal. You get in that car, and you bring the RPMs up to about 6,000 RPMs, and you leave the starting line. And by the time you get to the 60-foot, you're about 101 miles an hour. Now, I used to carry a mirror on my dashboard for a simple reason, and that was, I thought, man, what does it look like when you're going down the track at that impact, that, you know, acceleration. And I have to tell you, I was really, really impressed, because in the mirror, when I got past the 60-foot mark, let me tell you what, I didn't have any fat. I didn't have any wrinkles. I looked like an 18-year-old guy. This is what I used to look like. And I'm thinking, this is really, really cool. I'm liking this. And so, you know, we're cruising out there, and you get somewhere around the eighth mile, about 194, 195 miles an hour, and I look down at the mirror, and things are looking great. And I'm telling you what, I'm looking stellar. This is what 18 is all about. I could bottle this. I could keep it, you know. And then we're trucking on down there, and again, everything is just perfect. I get down to the finish line somewhere around 240, 245 miles an hour, feeling great about life. You know what? I pull the parachutes because it's time to slow down and stop. And this is the problem that I had. I picked up a passenger along the way. It was a Pillsbury Doughboy because he passed me when I pulled the parachutes. I don't know where he came from. I had every wrinkle I had came back 20 times worse. I'll tell you what, it was incredible. But that's the acceleration. That's the thrill from the G-force, both positive and negative, that you get out of that. And it's like, hey, that's the next best thing to sex.
Well, did you get your answer on that one, Jack?
Okay.
Miss anything?
Yeah, no, that's now, good.
You know, when I meet you on the line, you know what I'm going to say. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll present to you the Pillsbury Doughboy.
That's it.
No drag racing.
Look at me now.
Oh, that's great.
That's good stuff.
Well, Terry, your excitement, your enthusiasm just kind of makes it all worthwhile out there. It's always a blast watching you go down the track and having the opportunity to talk to you. And apparently you got the cars ready to go. Are you going to do any testing or anything before you go down there?
Yeah, we are. Actually, you know, my whole Top Fuel team, you know, working with Doug Foley and all that, I own my own team now on the Top Fuel side, so I have my own crew on that. But I'm still working with Doug Foley and Tim Lewis, which has been a tremendous opportunity for me. So, you know, we're going to take the funny car because I said we have to get somebody licensed in that. And we're going to take the fuel car out. We are going to make some laps. I believe we're going to go to Valdosta. We may do some testing in San Antonio prior to the event. So, you know, we're looking for some really positive things, make some things happen, and go out there and rock and roll and hopefully go after a world championship in both classes.
I'll tell you what, Terry, you made me feel young again. In fact, when I tell the wife I was just offered a ride in an alcohol funny car, one thing she's going to say is no. So you're safe. You don't have to worry about me packing the red blazer.
Well, hey, do me one favor, okay?
Yes, sir.
Instead of getting on the Internet and when we're at the racetrack and you turn Windows on and you turn the mic on and all that about, like, 6 o'clock in the morning, can you please wait till 9 a.m. or something? Give us a break. We've been working till 3 in the morning on the car.
Listen, I'm trying to get you in the mood. I always play Ozzy Osbourne for you.
I'm ready
early in the morning to get you in that mood to where you are ready to go for the day. And listen to you. You're always pumped. You're always excited. Must work.
It does work. I tell you what, I enjoy having you at the track. It's awesome, and I tell you what, I look forward to it every day.
Okay. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Terry McMillan, one of my heroes. Terry, thank you for coming on tonight.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
Thanks, Terry.
Literally. Well, there you go. What can I say?
Yeah, it's always cool. You know, Stevie, it's always cool getting these guys. I just love having them describe what it's like for us mere mortals.
Well, you know, one of the neat things, in fact, for the fans down in Texas, I'm telling you, you really need to come down to the Texas Amity All Nationals down there, and presented by Napa Auto Parts, and it'll be April 4th through 6th at San Antonio Raceway. Now, one of the neat things, it's not like NASCAR with IHRA drag racing. It's up and close. You walk. Doesn't cost you anything to get in the pits. You go right up to the drivers, and I guarantee all you have to do when you go by Terry's pits is holler, "Hey, Terry." He'll be right there, and 20 minutes later, he'll probably let you go to where you can go to the next car because he's very proud of what he does. He loves drag racing. He loves his guys, and you'll get the feeling that you've suddenly become part of the Terry McMillan family.
And, Stevie, will we
when you go down there.
We're going to take a quick break, Stevie. We'll be right back.
All right.